Nice to be with you this morning and to share with you from the Word. Just might mention to you a couple of things that are going on with the prison ministry that you can be in prayer for. Just a couple of weeks ago, I got a letter from the director of Prison Fellowship in Maryland, and he was sharing what had been accomplished at the penitentiary through the Christmas parties they had there with the boys and girls, in which toys that you helped to provide were given out. He said this year they had over 1,000 children there during the. They had brought them in groups, didn't bring them in all at once, but over a three-day period, they had groups of them in with their fathers, and over 1,000 of them were there this year. So we rejoice in that there was really maybe some joy able to be given into the hearts of some of these children, and that some of these men, that the Lord will speak to their hearts as they see, as they hear the Word of God, as they see the love of Christians being shed out to them in things like this. Also, we had a contact with Prison Fellowship, and there's a new prison opening in Jessup, Maryland. It's just been built, and they've asked them to have services at the new prison. And this prison has 5 units in the prison. Each unit has 4 wings, and each wing will house 200 men. And so 4,000 men when it's full. And they've asked them to have a Bible study and a worship service in each of the 20 wings each week. And so they've asked that we provide them with some Born to Wins to make available to the men who will be able, who will be interested in studying by correspondence. And so we provide supply to those who will be going in. And then if other inmates who are interested in enrolling in the course, they can give them the first one, and then they can mail it into us for grading, and can pick up with additional ones that way. That's a potential of a large increase in the outreach there. So be in prayer. First, that really the ones that are really interested will be the ones that take it. Just passing out hundreds of courses, it doesn't mean anything if they're not really interested in studying them. So pray that there will be ones that really have an interest, will take the studies, and that the Lord might speak to them through their hearts, through these studies. Also, we had another opportunity. We had a call from a man at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, that's in charge of the Liberty Prison Ministry. And they had come across the Emmaus courses and had called Charlie Fizer out of Dubuque, and he referred them to me since Virginia is in our area. And they would like us as well to provide them with courses, to Emmaus courses to give out to the inmates that they're reaching. They have a prison ministry in Central Virginia where they're reaching 4 state prisons and 13 county jails. And so we're going to be sending them a supply of the first course, which they will be able to pass out to the prisoners. We talked about a couple of ways of going. Was providing them with the postcards that could be sent in, but we decided to send them the courses that they could use, and just for inmates that are really interested to get them enrolled in these studies. So here are 2 new opportunities that have potential for really could possibly bring a large increase. So pray that the Lord will work in the hearts of those who receive these in Virginia and also at Jessup Prison. Be in prayer also for the annual Emmaus Prison Conference. It's to be held the last week in February at Camp Horizon in Leesburg, Florida. We tried to get them to come to Greenwood Hills Conference this year, but in February it's kind of hard to compete against Florida. Pray for ones that will be going and meeting there. Last year there were about 40, and it's a time of fellowship, a time of discussion of the ministry, getting new ideas and plans, and also some ministry of the Word. But this is the last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in February. So pray for the Emmaus Prison Conference. If we look into the Word this morning, you know, I think in our day and time, the song Laura sang was People Need the Lord, and then we were singing that last song about the coming of the Lord. Seems like there's an ever-increasing lack of interest or even concern about the Lord, to think about His coming. People that need Him most think little about Him. And even a lot of times we as Christians, I don't think really maybe consider as fully as we should that here we've been saved through the mercy and grace of a righteous, holy God. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And everywhere we go, every step we take, every breath we breathe, God sees everything we do. The Holy Spirit indwells us and leads and guides us day by day. But yet even in the professing church today, it seems like while the world thinks can think nothing of the Lord, it seems like the professing church today thinks even little less about Him as well. Just a few weeks ago, I heard Chuck Colson on Focus on the Family, and he gave out a statistic from a survey that someone had taken that was shocking, that they'd taken a survey to find out how many people believed in absolute truth. And, of course, I think it was like 82% of the unsaved world did not believe that there's an absolute truth. But 52% of professing evangelical Christians did not believe that there is an absolute truth. And if you don't have that foundation, how can you have any foundation whatsoever? And how I think we're in a world today in which there's a need for men and women to look to the truths that are there. One of the truths that we have is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'd like to just think about this morning and this evening, the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Thinking this morning more on the line of the Holy Spirit in the work of bringing us to salvation, and then this evening in our life as after we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we look into the Word, maybe we could just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You this morning for the wonderful privilege that we have together to look into Thy Word. We thank You for the truths that Thou hast given us in this Word that is all truth. We ask that Thou just impress these truths upon our hearts as we go forth day by day. We might live with this Word. We might seek to honor and please Thee in each and everything that we do. We pray that Thou just be with us this morning, if there be even one individual here who has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that today they might do so before it's eternally too late. It's in His name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of misunderstanding, I think, in the world today about the Holy Spirit, almost to the fact where a lot of people just kind of look at it like an influence, some influence in the world. But the Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is a person. Maybe you hear people calling the Holy Spirit it. I believe that the Word of God brings forth the Holy Spirit should be called He. He is a person, one of the three persons of the Trinity. And a lot of times we get letters from inmates who they study the Greatest Man Alive course, and they write back saying, we can't understand how you worship three gods. You worship a spirit, you worship a God, and you worship Jesus Christ as God. You have three gods. But we don't have three gods. We have one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the book of John, chapter 16, and verse 13, I think the Lord makes it very clear the personality of the Holy Spirit. He says in John 16, 13, nevertheless, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Nine times there, in verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit is referred to as He, referred to as a person. And so the Holy Spirit isn't just some influence that's out there, much like the spirits would think of there being spirits floating around. But the Holy Spirit is a very person. Not a power that God gives us to use as we please, I think a lot of times some people get the idea that the Holy Spirit is a power. You know, we can draw upon the power of the Holy Spirit, kind of like maybe a soft drink machine. You go out somewhere and you put your money in and you push what you want, and the soft drink comes out, and you a vending machine. And a lot of people think, well, the Spirit of God is there. Whenever I need Him, I can just punch the buttons, and I can get the power of God. But the Holy Spirit is not a power that God gives us to use what we please, but the Holy Spirit is a person who will use us if we submit to Him. As we submit to the control of the Holy Spirit, then He's going to use us. Spiritual things aren't that we get everything we can from God, but that we make ourselves available to Him to be used. To be used in whatever way that He can use us. Whether it's reaching out to the unsaved or sharing a word with someone who's sick, visiting the ill, the shut-ins, the nursing homes. Many, many different ways that we can be used. But this is, I think, the idea that as we yield ourselves to Him, we're going to be used by the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. Not an influence, not a power, but a person. And He's not only just a person like we are, but He's a divine person. He is a part of the Godhead. As many people deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, so many people also deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not only a person, but He is God. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, He's called God. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it had been to the soul, was it not thine own? Why hast thou conceived this in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit, and Paul says, you didn't lie to man. You lied to God when you lied to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is deity. He is God. He has all the divine attributes that God has. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, we read, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Speaks here of the Holy Spirit being eternal. That means He has existed from eternity past. He will always exist from eternity future. Only God could have this attribute. Man is not eternal. We had a time when we were born. We had a beginning. And why were we going to have an eternity if we know the Lord Jesus Christ with Him, yet we can't say that we're eternal from the very past? Only God is eternal. And the Holy Spirit is spoken of in the Word as being eternal. The Holy Spirit is spoken in the Word in Luke chapter 1 as being all-powerful. And only God is all-powerful. Man thinks that he has a lot of power. A lot of times man thinks that he's influencing everything in the world. We hear a lot today about the New World Order and all that man is doing to bring the world together. And man seems to think he has a lot of power. And man seems to boast in the power that he has. But man really has no more power than what God allows him to have. No more power than what God gives to him. And so the Holy Spirit is spoken of as being all-powerful. And only God is all-powerful. And so again, it shows us that He is God. In Psalm 139, in verses 7 to 10, if you want to turn to some of these verses, you can. If you don't, we'll be looking at quite a few verses. The psalmist says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He's omnipresent. There's nowhere that the psalmist could go where the Spirit was not. Just as God the Father is omnipresent, so God the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. We're right here. We can't be anywhere else but in the very place we're at right now. But God is everywhere. And when it speaks of this Holy Spirit being, he says, where can I go from thy Spirit? There's nowhere I can go. And again, this shows us that he is very God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He knows all. He's all-knowing. We can't be all-knowing. We learn, we can take this word, and we can study the word of God, and every time we read through it, we're going to find something new. Mankind in the world today is always learning something, that they develop new medicines to treat diseases. They're making new inventions. Man's knowledge, he seems to think, grows all the time. But God knows all. He's all-knowing. And the Holy Spirit, the all-knowing one, is a part of the Godhead. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to this world, he was called Emmanuel, God with us. The one, the Holy Spirit, can be called God in us. He is very God. He is a person, the third person of the Trinity, but he is very God. And if anyone tries to say, oh, you're trying to worship a three-headed God, you're trying to worship three gods, no, far from it. We worship one God in three persons. And as we realize that we're indwelt, the Holy Spirit that indwells us is omnipotent, God, an omnipotent God in the person of the Holy Spirit, what effect it should have on our lives day by day. You know, when it should cause us to stop and think of the thoughts we have, of the words that we say, of the things that we see, the things that we do, to realize that every step of everywhere we go, an omnipotent, holy, righteous God is with us. And I believe that maybe sometimes we as Christians, as we go along in our Christian lives, just begin to take it for granted. We know God is there. We know that we're indwelt, and we just kind of forget it in our daily lives and kind of just get into the flow of the things that we want to do without realizing that every step we take, there's a righteous, holy God there with us. And I wonder if we stopped and thought about it more often during the days, if our lives would be different, if our service would be different, if our actions would be different. Something that we should think about day by day. Here I am, and I'm getting ready to do this, thinking about the fact that God is with me. God is there. Should I do this or should I not? If we impress it on our hearts and minds more often throughout the day, that God is with us, that it might change our actions and our lives as we live day by day. You know, a wonderful thing of the Holy Spirit, he had a work in our salvation. He worked in bringing us to the point where we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Again, in the 16th chapter of John, in verse 8, we're told, and when he shall come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He convicts. He convicts of sin. And there had to come a part in every one of our lives here this morning who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we were convicted of our sin, when we realized that we were lost. And that was the Holy Spirit working in our lives to show us that here we were on our way to an eternity in the lake of fire. As we were told in Romans chapter 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were on our way to an eternity separated from him, a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a place prepared for Satan and his angels. That was the road that we were on. And yet, I trust all of us this morning, maybe there's someone here who can't say it, we came to a point in our lives when through the conviction of the Holy Spirit we realized that we were a sinner. We realized that we couldn't do it ourselves. We couldn't live our life in our own way and achieve the end that we wanted. And I'm sure that we would say that we would want to spend eternity with the Lord. And no matter how good we were, no matter how often we'd gone to the meetings, no matter how much good work we had done, there came a point where we realized that all this was worthless. All this was totally useless because there's no way that we could ever accomplish salvation in our own selves. And when we came and realized that point, that we were lost without hope, we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the precious work that He accomplished at Calvary. I would hope that every one of us here this morning can say, I can look back and I can realize that time. I realize that day that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. But maybe there's one person here this morning, and while the Holy Spirit is convicting you in your heart, you're still fighting against it. You've heard the message of salvation. You sit in these pews and you've heard the gospel proclaimed many times, but yet you've never come to the point of where you said, yes, I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Do you have a tomorrow? Is there a later time that you can say, well, I'll make this decision, I'll take this opportunity? You may have it tomorrow, but you don't have a guarantee of it. Every week, you know, we could the illustrations could be changed every single week of the year. Every week harder we can goes by, we can't pick up the newspaper and read of some disaster that's happened, where people's lives are taken in just a quick disaster that no one planned, no one knew was coming, no one had any idea. And yet the people that are caught in that disaster, their chance is gone. If they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, they're present with Him today. If they didn't, they're lost for all eternity. And even just in the past few days, as we saw on the news, this airplane crash in Evansville, Indiana. Thinking of those people on that plane, in that motel. When they got up that morning, not a one of them probably thought, were thinking the fact that, well, this is going to be my last day on earth. This is going to be the last day that I'm going to be here alive. They were probably making plans of what they were going to be doing the next day or what they were going to be doing in the weeks ahead. And yet, in a few short seconds, their lives were taken from them. And we can't say that we have a hope of tomorrow in this life, that we know that we're going to be in Pennsylvania tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I'm going to still be here. We don't know what could happen between now and then. Something could happen that our life would be taken from us, or the Lord Jesus Christ Himself could return. And then if you are here today without Him as your Savior, if something should happen or He should return, you'd be lost for all eternity. No matter how many times you've heard the Word, you're not going to be able to stand before the Lord at the day of judgment and say, well, I heard your word 100 times, and I was just waiting for the day that I was going to make my decision. No, there's not going to. You can't use that excuse. You've heard the word. The Scripture says now is the accepted time. Accept Him today. Don't put it off. Not a one of us have any guarantee of what the future will hold. And oh, how sad it would be to think that even one person here today who's sitting under the sound of the gospel, who's heard it over and over, will leave this auditorium to face eternity in the lake of fire. The Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. Even right where you're sitting right now, you can just tell Him that you realize that you're lost and you need a Savior, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. And right where you're sitting this morning, He'll become your Savior. Why not do it right now? The Holy Spirit convicts us. He shows us that we need a Savior. And all He does far more than that in our salvation. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "...through not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit works in our regeneration, in the new life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born into a new family. One time we come to when we were born into whatever family we're a member of here on this earth. And no matter what happens, we can never be taken out of that family. You know, no matter how bad a child goes in their life, Maybe even they come to the point where their family just disowns them. You hear every now and then reading the paper where a family has disowned a child or something. Yet they're still by birth a part of that family. And the moment we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, by regeneration we become a part of God's family, a part of His family forever and ever and ever. And while there are people that say, oh, you can be saved this minute and you can be lost the next minute, it's really the same principles in a physical family. When you're born into that family, there's nothing you can do to be taken out of that family. You're still a part of it, whether you want to be, whether your parents want you to be or what, you're still a part. Physically, you've been born in that family. And through regeneration, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're a part of God's family. And the Holy Spirit is working in that regeneration to bring us to the point of where we have know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and asking Him to come into our life and take away our sin. And there are several things that happen right there in just a quick succession. There's the regeneration, the new birth, putting us into God's family. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, far different than what much of the world is speaking of today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 to 14, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body also in Christ, for by one Spirit were we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, have been made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many." Immediately upon accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes or places us into the body of Christ. And then He comes to indwell us, to live within us. We're told in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He hath given us." God gives us the Spirit to indwell us, to lead us, to guide us. Even when we do things that are wrong, certainly, as believers, we're not perfect. We still are without, have that old nature warring within us. But the Holy Spirit is there to convict us and to lead us day by day. Wonderful as we think of each part of the Trinity. The Son,